The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. Now it's hour number two. It just flipped over to 5 o'clock. 713-780-ESPN's your number. You might want to save that for the 6 o'clock hour because I think we're going to punt on the calls for a little bit. We got too much stuff to get
cool
to.
Cool me.
Yeah. More. The better way to get us is hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at
I
AJ.
I pulled up Twitter today.
Is the real.
I should do that.
At Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, pretty sportsy, and then made the mistake of taking calls. Oh, Kansas City Joe did tweet us and say he's real.
Okay.
Well, his question was okay, but geez, we'll go again. Phone buzzing. So, talked a little bit about Texans, talked a little bit about the Rockets, hit on some of the other series, and that's pretty much it. And then John getting life advice from AJ.
Yeah.
So.
Gary asked if I didn't have tickets to go see the Foo Fighters at the Woodlands. No, I could have had tickets to go see the Foo Fighters at the Woodlands, but by the time I got up there, it'd be 8:15. You know, by the time I parked and got up there, it'd probably be 8:30.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah. And then they have to shut it down at 11, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's honestly, I don't know that there's any concert that I want to see bad enough to ever go to the Woodlands again.
it's not that far out of the way for me.
No, it's not for you, but for me, it's a pain in the ass, and the parking sucks, and I've never had a good experience there. So even when I've had reserved seats, I've never had a good experience there.
Kevin says, what do y'all think about how the Pelicans have played so far? What do you think the series against Golden State will look like for them if Steph has to miss some games? Well, Portland and Golden State are just so different. I mean, you see offensively, Portland's got two guys that they can count on, and it's their two backcourt guys. And the Pelicans have basically said, okay, somebody else is going to have to beat them. We're taking that away. And nobody on Portland stepped up outside of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum to really take the lead there. Golden State has a lot more scoring options. They've got a lot of guys who can score if need be. I don't think it'll be as easy, but somebody's got to figure out how to stop, maybe not stop, to just slow down Anthony Davis. I mean, he's a monster. And granted, Draymond Green, it's not a bad guy to have on him if you're trying to slow that guy down. It's not a bad guy to have in your pocket to try to hold him. But I think the Pelicans will be clearly tougher than the Spurs have been on the Warriors, but I don't think the Pelicans are good enough to beat them.
I think they could win a game or two.
Oh, yeah. But not the series.
Yeah, no.
I still haven't gotten off of I think it's going to be Rockets Warriors, and I don't think I'm like going out on a limb by saying
I haven't seen anything to change my opinion of that. So, I like how the Pels look, but I also thought I'm not going to call them the Pels, the Pelicans. I hate that. I thought going in they were better than Portland, and they would beat their butts. I didn't think they'd sweep them.
No,
but looks like they're going to. Disco says Baby Biscuit knows that whole intro you guys do, and it cracks her up.
All right.
So
babies love us.
Yeah. And then 35 minutes ago, Gabs tweeted at us and said, great segment. So
I don't remember what happened that one. 35 minutes ago. Yeah. I'm sure it was awesome, though.
Yeah. So there we go. Caught up on Twitter. 713-780 ESPN if you want to text the show. Somebody asked, any games you're going to bet on this weekend? I am probably, I don't have any hockey games that I like right now because. Like all the series are playing out almost exactly the way that I thought they would. I think there's three series that could end tonight. I think they probably all three end. The only one that I might see not happening would be Philadelphia. might beat Pittsburgh, but I doubt it. But there's just, the numbers are ridiculous. You know, Winnipeg's minus 230. You might try the over 5.5 on that if you really have to make a bet tonight. I think Minnesota's going to come out and put up 4 or 5 goals. So if they do that, I mean Winnipeg's going to put up 4 or 5 goals. Okay. So you just need 1 or 2 out of Minnesota and you're fine. So that would be my only play. That and the Bruins are going to run my Leafs out of the building tomorrow, and that'll be the end of that one. So 713-780-ESPN. The one series that I was really unsure about was Washington-Columbus, and that's the only one that's close.
Yeah.
Everything else has just been a rout.
Predators haven't really you look like you were right about Nashville and Winnipeg. Those two teams look like they are.
Although, I'm going to correct one thing, though. I'm starting to really believe in the Golden Knights, too.
Yeah.
I didn't think they could get past the Kings, but the fact that they and that series wound up being, it was a sweep, but every game was close. It was only close because Jonathan Quick played out of his mind. He set a record for highest save percentage in a 4-game loss sweep.
I used to hold that record.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jonathan Quick. I mean, but they really outplayed them. So I'm not going to say that Vegas can't beat those teams, but I still think Winnipeg and Nashville are the two best teams. 713-780-ESPN. What do you think of the biggest reasons for the Rockets' defensive changes? Everyone was worried when D'Antoni came that he wasn't a defensive coach.
He's not.
He really isn't.
But he put good defensive assistants around him, and they brought in Chris Paul, who I think changed the whole attitude of how that team approaches defense. Chris Paul's not, he's a no-nonsense guy. He's not going to let guys slack off on the defensive end, and that was honestly my favorite thing about them signing Chris Paul was I knew in that locker room he was a respected guy who emphasizes defense.
Remember when fans were complaining that they were going to lose defense when Patrick Beverley got traded?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think PJ Tucker has helped a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently...
And in Bamute.
But apparently PJ Tucker's the one that gets on James when James doesn't play defense in the locker room. And PJ Tucker's the one that takes him aside and kind of chews him out.
But Bezdelic is that guy, everywhere he goes, and he's sort of he's like a fixer. He's like the wolf. You need somebody to teach you how to play defense. Bring him in there. He'll fix it for you. That's who I think is. He and Chris Paul are the biggest factors. But then adding role players, PJ Tucker and Bamute, who also emphasize defense, and I'm sure Bezdelic had something to do with those guys. I think it's not a surprise that they're a much better defensive team.
Well, and you know, Harden played.
It's effort.
Yeah.
I've always said that about James Harden. Harden, it's not like with Steph Curry physically he's not built to be a great defender in the NBA. But he gives effort. It doesn't always turn him into a great defender, but he always tries. James Harden has everything he needs to be a really good defender in the NBA, but for the longest time, he just didn't care. Like, he didn't want to give effort on the defensive end, whether he was saving it for the offensive end, I don't know. But when he gives effort, he's what I would consider above functional. I mean, he's a solid defensive player.
Well, if you remember when he was in OKC, he was the one guarding the best offensive player. He was guarding Kobe when they were playing the Lakers.
This sounds so stupid now. But when James Harden came out of Arizona State, I said on the radio, I don't know where I was, I guess I was in Austin at the time, I said, James Harden defensively is good enough to be a star in the NBA. I don't know if he's going to be able to score. So that shows that I'm not a great NBA scout, but James Harden in college was a great defensive player. And you're right. In Oklahoma City, he was their kind of their stopper. When he got here, and he, of course, this is the first time he's really taken on a bulk of the offensive load, and that changes things. But yeah, I think that between the assistant coach hire and the addition of a point guard that emphasizes defense, that's what made the Rockets a different team.
713-780-3776 to text the show. Albert asked, Predators versus Pens rematch for the Cup. Pens are playing damn good hockey. Is any team ever three-peat? Not in the salary cap era. The last time, I think the Islanders won like 4 in a row in the early 80s, but this with the salary cap, it's, you know, it's really tough. I know Red Wings won a couple in a row, late 90s. So, yeah, it would be kind of unprecedented if the Penguins were to win. But I got to be honest, I don't see the Penguins getting by Tampa or Boston on that side. I think those two teams are better than Pittsburgh this year. But I don't think either one of them can beat either Winnipeg or Nashville. So we'll see. People still want to know when you're going on Survivor. When is this going
to
happen?
I don't know. I got to put together a tape, I guess. I really want to. I think it'd be a good time, and I think I could win.
We have people here. We'll do the video for you.
Yeah.
We've got a whole studio
in there.
We've
got a videography team.
Yeah. Filled with people. In fact, I'll go ahead and tell people about this because it's going to happen sometime next month, but we're going to have a weekly show sponsored by our friends at Whitmire's that is going to be a sports version of Drunk History we're going to drink a lot of Whitmire's and interview a guest.
Sounds like a good time.
It's going to be fun. And Holly's going to host it with me helping. So you'll have Drunk Holly, which should be entertaining. And we got some really cool guests lined up. So, we're going to film the first one probably at Whitmire's. And then we'll go around to different places in the city so you can come watch us film it and meet the famous people and see how drunk and stupid we get. Because there will be things that don't make it on the show. I can guarantee you one of us is going to do something that will be on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
But you'll get to see it live.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you should come because Holly might get drunk enough to, you know, do something stupid. So, but it'll be fun. I'll let everybody know when that's coming. And then I got another really cool announcement coming very soon that I'm very excited about, but not ready yet. Brian, better starting rotation. This year's Astros or mid-90s Braves?
Mid-90s Braves.
Yeah.
They had three Hall of Famers.
Yeah. This group has one Hall of Famer and a lot of really good guys.
Yeah.
But, although Keuchel would have to have like 7 or 8 more years at a very high level.
Yeah, I mean, Garrett Cole could have, I mean, they could do that, but I know that those guys on the break, that's what I always say about like prospects versus guys who have done it.
Yeah.
You're talking about guys who have played for 6-7 years versus guys who had a full Hall of Fame career and went to multiple World Series. Those are the guys I'll take for now.
Yeah, Keuchel at his best, comparable to Glavin at his best. I
don't disagree with that.
And, you know, if you look at, okay, Smoltz and Verlander probably. There's not really a Maddux in there, though.
No.
I think that's the difference.
Yeah, even comparing, well, again, it's like a full career of Glavin to Keuchel.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, you could say for 1 year, you could compare them, but you can't really compare careers, and that's the problem.
Right.
Because Tom Glavin, better career than Dallas Keuchel, but for 1 year?
Yeah.
Keuchel's Cy Young year? That was very Glavin-like. That's why it's kind of a hard thing to, you know. And 832 says Astros have one Hall of Famer who'd be the fourth starter on the 95 Braves. I don't know if he'd be fourth.
I don't know either.
But I don't know. Maybe.
I wouldn't argue it necessarily.
No. I guess, well, his MVP year, he'd be number one on any team.
Yeah.
But, again, it just, which year are we talking about?
Right. So it's maybe a little, it's somewhere in between. Do you remember when the A's in the early 2000s had Mark Mulder and Barry Zito and Tim Hudson?
Yeah.
I think the Astros are somewhere between that pitching staff and the Braves pitching staff. Like, it's really good, but I just don't think it's quite three Hall of Famers good.
Yeah, and we're just talking starters.
Right.
Yeah, we're not talking about the entire pitching staff. It's a damn good group, though.
It is.
All right, guys, spring cleaning time, and probably already doing it. Well, how about this? Clean out that old mattress and get a new one at Texas Mattress Makers. They got showroom specials all the time to get the best bed for your guest room. You need a new one for yourself. Get one for the kids. You can buy it straight from the manufacturers, and they've got so many great choices, the Amsterdam, the Athens, the London. And I'll tell you what, you're going to sleep better. You're going to feel better. You're going to save a bunch of money with a custom fitted, handcrafted bed from Texas Mattress Makers. And, guys, Yuval and his family have been making mattresses for over 30 years. Over 30 years worth of mattress making over there. They know what they're doing. They're going to put you on the mattress that's best for you. And when you walk in the door, you're going to save 50% off of what you would pay if you went anywhere else, because they're making the mattresses right there and selling them directly to you. And I'm telling you, Yuval is a wizard when it comes to putting you on the right mattress. And you're gonna thank him. And you're going to save money. So what the heck are you waiting for? Get over there. Two great locations now. They've got the new store at 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy, exit 742 on I-10 West. It's right off the access road. So, Katy, you're now covered. And, of course, there's the original 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Go by. Tell them I sent you. They will take care of you. You are going to thank them, and you're going to thank me. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on the Blitz. As the RJ just tweeted out the latest NBA title odds. Warriors plus 110, Rockets plus 200. Raptors third at 10-1. That's your... So... Rockets and Warriors had gotten even near the end of the season, but now the Warriors are clearly the favorite again. Still a plus number on them. I don't mind that. Plus 110. I mean, it's not, I mean, it's an awful low number, but I'm still getting plus money for a team that I think is clearly the best, who's only really going to be tested in the conference finals. But Durant could have blown that ankle out last night, and that bet would have been in trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
So 713-780-ESPN if you wish to text the show. And a couple, gosh darn it. Yeah. I've got to figure out, we got to figure out something. I think that table.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that table back.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny. This table here, this big wooden table, brown table, it serves no purpose. No one ever sits at that table and does any kind of work. I mean, it's like a...
Sometimes when they bring food to us, they put it there.
I guess so.
But most of the time, they leave that outside, and everybody else eats it before we get in.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I don't know. The that's some Cowboys news.
Oh, I've been waiting all day for
Randy Gregory is going to apply for reinstatement.
Okay. You think that's all the news you got?
Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got. I got the... We talked about the ESPN thing. We talked about the schedule. So that's all the sports stuff I got.
All right.
Well, I got a lot of non-sports stuff.
I've got some too. Do you want to?
Let's go non-sports.
I guess we're gonna have RJ next, but we don't have to stay sportsy all day. I'm perfectly fine with moving on.
All right, well, let's move on, because we'll do plenty of sports gambling with RJ.
Do you want? Do you want me to begin, or do you want to?
Why don't you go ahead?
A Louisiana woman went home and found a stranger in her house.
Oh, this was my gym of the day.
Oh,
was it? Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead. I've got another one.
And it was a little bit odd, because they walk in and they see a naked woman in their bathtub. That's odd. She's eating Cheetos and said that someone had told her to break into the house. I don't know what the move is there. Like, I mean, my initial thought is, if someone's in my house, it's not supposed to be, I just shoot them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If they
naked and Cheetos, though, they can't be very harmful to you.
That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, it's not like she's hiding a gun somewhere.
Evelyn Washington was her name. She's been arrested on burglary and property damage charges. And that's the other thing. It's like, what are you doing in my house? Oh, well, someone told me to break in here. I don't know how I'd respond to that.
I'd love it. The officer found a full tub of water and a plate of food along with half-eaten Cheetos belonging to the victim on the toilet next to the tub.
Which very odd.
Also very gross if you're putting Cheetos on the toilet.
I've also got a Florida story that's super Florida.
Before you get to that, my favorite line in that whole story was the last line. It's unclear if she has a lawyer.
Yeah, my guess is she doesn't have anybody on retainer.
No.
A Florida county commissioner is facing multiple charges after authorities say he paid a couple that was living with him to be able to have sex with the wife. 71-year-old Nick Nicholson was arrested on Thursday on one count of operating a location for the purpose of lewdness or prostitution and two counts of purchasing services from any person engaged in prostitution. The arrest stemmed from an investigation that began February 20th when deputies went to a home that Nicholson rents in Spring Hill. After getting a recall reporting a domestic disturbance, they found 33-year-old Kendall Surrett and 30-year-old Valerie Surrett in the middle of a heated dispute. Valerie had a visible injury to her face. She told deputies that her husband had thrown a screwdriver at her head.
If you can dodge a screwdriver, you can dodge a ball.
Both the Surretts and Nicholson had glassy red eyes, according to authorities, and they appeared under the influence. The Times reports that Nicholson's sweatpants had a hole in the front that exposed his genitals, and deputies asked him to change clothes.
70-year-old genitals?
Ugh. Yes. Ugh. Kendall told investigators that the couple had been living in the residence for about 6 months, and he said that Nick had been buying them food and paying them $100 to have sex with Valerie on Tuesday and $200 to have sex with her on Saturdays.
That makes sense. It'd be more expensive on weekends.
Nicholson allegedly let Valerie's other clients have sex with her at the home, either in the garage or in a car parked in the driveway. It's not the first time that he's been under investigation. He wound up at the center of an investigation in 2012 into his alleged relationship with a stripper named Kimberly Lacerdo, who police arrested for child abuse after a minor in her care ingested crack cocaine.
I remember that story.
This guy, I feel like maybe he shouldn't be involved in public service anymore.
Probably not.
He should live a really, really private life going forward.
I think so. So basically, he's got a prosy living in his place, and he's paying her.
Yep.
Wouldn't you just give him a rent break?
That's what I would think.
Yeah, if you know.
Like, I can't imagine in my house you're going to make me pay for it.
Yeah, I'd kind of be like, I'll give you 20% off the rent.
Like, we can negotiate rent separate from us having sex, because we're going to have sex for free, but I think I can lower your rent.
I think I'd cut it 20% for twice a week.
Yeah.
That seems fair.
No, you've got to keep those things unrelated.
Why?
I demand that we have sex twice a week.
Okay.
I demand that we have consensual sex twice a week.
And there's no payment involved.
There's no money involved with this. This is going to be free sex.
I see where you're going there. Yeah.
But because you've been such a good tenant, I think I'm going to cut your rent by about $300. Like, that seems fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my move. But I'm not a police commissioner.
No. Got 70-year-old police commissioner.
Yeah.
Man. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back.
Before we go, I have a little advice from the president of Uganda. Have you guys seen this?
No.
The wrong practices indulged in and promoted by some of the outsiders. One of them is what they call oral sex. The mouth is for eating. Okuria. Charm. The mouth is for eating, not for sex.
Who said this?
The president of Uganda.
Oh, is he crazy?
He said something, chomp. The mouth is not for eating, not for sex.
What's that guy know?
I won't be visiting Uganda anytime soon, I can tell you that.
Just remember that when you're having sex.
It's been on my no-fly list.
Yeah, well, that's definitely out now. If he's not allowing that. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Boston. You never find
forgot.
And we're back on the Blitz. And that music means it's time for the gambling guru of the universe. You know him from Twitter at RJ in Vegas. You know him from pregame.com. RJ Bell. What's going on, RJ?
You know him from Houston Radio with Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like the best. It's the best hit you do all week. It's the biggest.
Oh, I mean, it's
tremendous.
You know, if I could only choose one.
Well, fortunately, you don't have to choose.
Yeah, don't even say it. We don't want to be disappointed.
No, because then Stephen A. is going to be all, you know.
Yeah, listen, we don't want him to know I like Fred Ward. Come on.
Colin, you know, we don't want those guys to know that.
Bunch of fry babies.
Hey, RJ, before we get into some of the stuff you sent us, I wanted to get your opinion on this because we've talked a little bit about, you know, the possible legalities and who all wants to get involved and that kind of stuff. But these leagues trying to get a cut, basically. And I saw today that that New Jersey came out and called it laughable that MLB would want to cut. I kind of want to get your thoughts on this, that they're trying to get their beaks wet a little bit here off of gambling in other states. And do you think it's a possibility that could even happen?
Yeah, because I think it's a matter of semantics, right? So first of all, as in the way that we word it, it's going to be a set amount of money. The question is, how do we frame it? And when I say we, I mean the participants here, not me specifically. Now, let's think about this. What do the leagues have to offer? On one hand, in theory, before the Supreme Court case, before they took this case, because remember, New Jersey started this legal fight years and years ago. And the fight comes down to and I'm no authority on this stuff. Some people focus on it, but I think it was a 1992 law, and it said at the time, hey, listen, if you want to bet on sports, you got to apply now. This was the government telling the states, and if not, we're shutting the door, right? Last chance, all right, going out of business sale. So there were four states, Nevada and actually Montana and Delaware, and I'm having a mental block. It might be Oregon is the fourth one. Now, the other three, other than Nevada, have been very judicious with what they've done. They actually have the right to do gambling, but they've usually done, like, lotteries where you had to pick, like, there'd be scratch-off cards and there were teams involved, like, ways that it felt like it was betting on sports, but it really wasn't. And Delaware, I think, is the closest one where they've had parlays and such, but not one-teamers. Okay. Now, that was it. Then at a certain point, they said no other state could have it. Well, New Jersey, decades later, like 5 years ago, said, we want to have it. And the government said, oh, no, 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 no. And the leagues joined in, right? When there's cases like this, the leagues can join in, you know, a friend of a court, or they could be on one side of the fight. And they were 100% beside the federal government trying to keep the restrictions in place. Now, New Jersey lost the first round. They lost the second round. And anyone, and this is like year and a half in between. Anyone that knows anything about the Supreme Court, and I know just a little bit, like it's 100-1, any case gets taken. So at this point, it's dead in the water. Leagues are happy. They can keep their hypocritical attitude. Why do I say hypocritical? Because they benefit, as you guys know, from sports betting. Even more hypocritical in the modern era where they have business relationships and sometimes ownership with Daily Fantasy, right? And now they're saying, oh, no, though, betting on individual players is okay, but betting on teams is bad, which actually you'd think it'd be the opposite, right? Because the theory is, oh, we're going to be mad at this one guy versus
right.
You know, being mad at this team. So the fact the Supreme Court took the case and then the way it went during oral arguments in December made everyone feel, and something I told you guys on this show, 90%+ chance it was going to be legal. So now the leagues are like, you know, we've had a change of heart. Maybe there is a partnership to be had. It's like the game's over. All right. Now it's not 100% over. So on one hand, the league's not fighting it is something they could have offered before, but they're really not offering it now. right? Because the fight's over in many ways. What the Leafs could offer in theory is marketing partnerships. But here's the key. The big money, and I mean the big, big money, is an in-game betting. The idea that, imagine a smart TV, you got your remote. This isn't second screen stuff. This isn't your iPad or your iPhone. This is on the screen, has your username. Let's say F Fred, right? I'm thinking is what yours would be.
That's mean and, of you.
What?
That's mean of you.
No, I mean, don't people often use their first name initial and then
they don't
name?
Tell me to F myself though. Come on.
Oh, well, listen. Okay. Wait, F hour. Okay, I got it. Now, it is, and it says for you, it's going to say like $14,000, like a big balance. And then it says, hey, is LeBron going to make the next free throw? And you can bet it right now at, you know, minus 250 that he will. And then on the next possession, you know, and again, the more modern, advanced in-game is literally play-by-play, and football is perfect for that because you got time in between the plays. But anything, any sport, you can bet on any break. Okay, it's the middle of the second quarter of this NBA game. Who do you want to bet now? There's a spread. There's a money line. There's a total. Now, who makes the money in this hypothetical? The leagues, the networks, and the bookmakers. It's a triangle. Everybody's making real money. So, and again, obviously a lot of info here. I've got kind of one last piece to this, but what do you guys think of what I'm laying out so far?
Oh, it makes sense, and I've got a follow-up to it, but you might answer it with what you've got left, so I'm gonna hold off here. Well,
so my last big point here would be the leagues are making a huge mistake, and it's been more about 10 weeks ago, and I won't name the league. They didn't say not to, but I just not inclined to do that. It's always funny, as much as in some ways, like when I meet people who are not on the gambling side, is I'm always like, well, you know, I won't tell people we're talking because, you know, gambling still, there's that 20% of people that find it to be taboo. Not any listeners of this show, obviously, but there is that small percentage. But they were talking about integrity a bunch. And you hear this talk about an integrity fee. It is the biggest mistake a league could make when it comes to gambling. Because here's the given. Imagine I have a restaurant. Here's the hypothetical analogy. I have a restaurant, and I'm going to say I'm going to become responsible for everyone who eats here who ever has a heart attack. Now, I don't care if I have one of those fat burgers or In-N-Outs or Whataburger or whatever it's called, or if I have the healthiest restaurant in the world. Literally, there's live plants growing in the back, and we're juicing them, pulling them roots out, rinsing them off, and juicing them for you. Some people are going to have a heart attack that ate at this restaurant. So if I say I'm responsible for all heart attacks when they're inevitable, that's a pretty stupid move, isn't it?
It's not wise.
Game corruption, game fixing, or point shaving more specifically in most cases, where you've got a 14-point favorite and it's hint, win by 10, and which happens a ton in college, right? Because who's making money in college basketball? Not many people, even down the road, right? So if you're at Toledo, think of the schools. And most of those players are never sniffing the NBA. So someone comes along and says, hey, you're a 16-point favorite. Just win by 10. Here's $10,000. I mean, I'm not saying everyone takes it, but, someone's taking it. If the league say we're responsible for that, they're making a big mistake because it's inevitable. But it's the only way they can think to get their hands on the money. Instead of just being a little bit patient by saying, oh, pay us 1% or whatever, and we'll help with the integrity. But then now you're responsible for the integrity of the game. So to me, the move here is, and you can make a case that giving them access, the bookmakers, to some data feeds would be a legitimate way to maybe get a quarter of percent on the handle. So $100 bet, they get literally $0.25. That's not unreasonable. And the rumors I have heard is that's where it's going to land. I just think if they made it a data fee, then it could have been an easy step to go from a data fee to, okay, we're taking a third of these bets, not because we're involved in bookmaking at all, because the leagues are going to want to keep their distance from that, but because we're providing this proprietary raw data in a special feed that isn't publicly available, because the latency on these bets is very important. You've got to be able to get the data quickly, put up some odds, and it's an algorithm, and then take the bets before the next play. So speed is of the essence. So maybe it's co-located servers or whatever, where that data relationship starts out initially for that 0.25%, and then a year or two or five later, when the smart TVs and the betting become a reality, then they're going to be able to just extend that deal. And though their percentage of the money would go way up, because now they're really important, rather than just kind of a 0.25% payoff to shut up, it would feel like a natural progression. But any involvement these leagues have in integrity is a big mistake. And the very last thing I'll say, and Silver, who I think has been, quite frankly, the forward-thinking commissioner on this, so kudos to him, but he was on Greeny's new show this week, and we're going to be talking about this on the radio show with our show on with Sound, is saying, and you know, I'll do kind of a, out of respect for the commissioner, I won't do a Weasley voice, but just imagine a Weasley voice here saying, well, we spend $7 billion, $6 billion a year creating this content. So like this assumption that somehow you have a right to decide if someone else bets on you is like one of the most absurd things I've ever heard in my life. Like, imagine if you guys wanted to start betting on, you know, will some host on the other radio show be over 300 pounds because he's gaining a bunch of weight? Could you imagine him saying, oh, I need a cut of that because you're betting on my actions? It's absurd. But somehow the leagues are starting to float feelers that because the bets are being taken on their game, they deserve a percentage of it. So that means somehow they were complicit with all the illegal betting over the years? Absurd.
Yeah, and if they were smart, then they wouldn't distance themselves from bookmaking. They'd put a book right there in the stadium so you could go play during the game. And that then they could get their cut.
But Fred, they can get – that's the thing. These guys are very smart, first of all, right? Not in every way, right? And oftentimes they have information we don't even understand. But you don't get to be a billionaire without being smart. And most of these NBA guys especially are first-generation money. You know, you can say – second, third generation money, you know, how was it the genetic lottery or not? But if someone, you know, whatever anyone wants to say about Mark Cuban, and there's some things I like about him and some things I don't, the guy made a lot of money, right? So to me, they are smart, but they're very good at mitigating risk. And if you can make 90% of the money with 0% of the risk, or make 100% of the money by being partners, I think it probably is smart to keep an arm's length.
All right, that's RJ Bell. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And all right, let's move on to some of the action that's going on. And we've seen.
So guys, I just gave you like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Give me something. What do you think?
Well, I go back to what I just said. I think they should open their own books in there and take the money that way, because. Where's it going to come from? It's going to come from the people betting. Any extra money that they get it's just going to be. And I mean, I'm about the players here. I could give a rat's ass about the leagues or the books or anybody else.
The thing that pisses me off the most about it is these leagues who have forever been so against any kind of betting on their sport, at least publicly, now suddenly want a piece of the action, which it's the most hypocritical thing I can think of. And it, you know, I think about Pete Rose, who, you know, he's basically blackballed from baseball for betting on baseball. Now Major League Baseball says, well, if we get a cut, maybe it's okay. It's just absurd to me.
Yeah. But the older you get, and I mean, literally like above college age, the more you realize that laws and morality are two separate things. And the law's the law, right? So I agree with you. It doesn't make, though I do think the idea of an individual betting on himself even is problematic, because it's the old debate, unless he's betting on himself every game, in a way he's making an implicit bet against himself by not betting. Meaning if you bet on yourself half the time, that means your team half the time, you're really handicapping when to bet on and when not to bet at all, as opposed to betting against. So that was the argument with Pete Rose. And I think there's a little validity to that. Obviously, betting against yourself would be problematic. Yeah. You guys would agree with that, right?
Yes.
So, but I'll tell you this. The richest people in the world are usually, at least in areas where there's not true morality, the biggest hypocrites. Meaning, you know, this was something where, I don't know if you guys saw the story. We do a new podcast. It's called Don't Bet On It. Every Friday, came out this morning. And me and a local radio ESPN guy here in town, he and I look at the 6 or 7 hottest takes of the week from the big names, you know, Stephen A., Colin, all the big kind of hot take artists out there. And we give the Vegas perspective. It's like, hey, agree here, disagree here, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things we were talking about real quick was the LeBron James barbershop Nick Saban battle. Were you guys aware of this?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. We talked about it a lot yesterday.
Yeah. So then someone else is suing now LeBron from the other direction. And in one filing, or the original letter, LeBron's saying one thing, or his attorneys are. And then in the next letter, they're saying the exact opposite. And you're thinking, oh, that's hypocritical. Well, no, it's kind of the way it is, right? Joe Kennedy was famous. One year he had a bunch of real estate in New York City, and he went in and said, you know, it was the end of World War II. He's like, oh, the values are down. I should get a big reduction in taxes. All right, boom. So he wins that one. Like 2 or 3 years later, the city wants to take some of the property because of what eminent domain, right? Wants to take it for a highway or whatever. He comes in and the same lawyers argue this property's worth 7 times as much. And now, was Joe Kennedy a hypocrite? Would he have been righteous if he would have said, you know, I kind of wish I didn't argue down my taxes, but I'm going to accept that valuation? I just think we want to connect morality and righteousness and ethics to things like court, but in law. But unfortunately, it's so disconnected from that, which is bad most of the time. But to act like it's not, I think, is just setting yourself up for a bunch of frustration.
All right, here's a ethical question for you. Let's say you make the final table of the main event this year, and
I like it so far. You're
the massive chip leader, and
ooh, I like it.
And you're a heavy favorite to win.
I agree with that.
Is it wrong to go and play some substantial bets at decent odds on 2 or 3 of the guys that you're worried about at the final table against yourself?
That's interesting. So. Wow, I've never heard that before. Because usually what happens is they're splitting up amongst themselves, right?
Right.
Which is famous in poker, where they have some ratio of chips to whatever. Here's where I think I know it would be a problem. If you stood more to win, if you lost. Now, let's just say for the sake of argument, you're going to win $10 million if you win, and you hedge off, because it really would be effectively hedging. You hedge off $5 million. To me, you're still motivated to win. So I think as long as you're motivated to win, I wouldn't have an ethical problem with it.
Okay. I was just curious. I came up with that scenario while you were talking about Pete Rose.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. But what I will say is, it is so uncommon for there to be an event in which betting is so intrinsic to, like, you're betting within the event.
Right.
And you can actually bet on the results of the event, which I'm not sure there's any other example than a big poker tournament.
Well, and most of these guys are already betting against each other and have side bets and everything else going on. So it's, you know, it's part of the culture. But I think I would find a way, if possible, if I were in that situation, to in case I totally choke and blow my big chip lead, I still come out with a better payoff than if I finish 4th in the tournament. So
that's, now, what would be a good example, though? And if for the guys that really understood risk is, if you leveled off your risk by making hedging bets in a poker tournament, you actually would play differently. So that's actually a very, because your actual effective, like however much you value the actual championship would be driving your betting more than the cash side, especially if you hedged out exactly even. Which brings up another point. Imagine it's like the Masters, and you've got a guy like this year leading, and I don't know, I know he wasn't a huge winning golfer historically, the Masters winner, but you know, I don't know if he had made millions of dollars in his career or not, but imagine you hadn't. You know, imagine you were worth a couple hundred thousand and you're going down the Masters with you and, you know, you're up by two, what, Roy McIlroy style is a great movie. Do you guys like Tin Cup?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, love it. But would it make sense?
That was Sergio with the Masters. Sense,
but would it be unethical for that guy to bet, let's say there was a yes-no on him, right, which there pretty much was coming in the final day of the Masters. The leader was about even money, and the field was about even money. If he would bet whatever the difference is between first and second, though he wouldn't be guaranteed second even, if he bet that, is that unethical, where he bet against himself but trying to hedge out his result?
I don't think so, but golf is a lot like poker. There's so much betting going on within it, and it is part of the it is a big part of the golf culture. I don't think that's – I mean, I would do it. I want to make sure I get paid the most I could get paid. I wouldn't go tank the tournament
for it. We
know
that, Fred. Everybody knows that, Fred.
I'm not going to go tank the tournament.
Let me ask AJ a quick question as we're winding down here.
All right.
How's your stance on the Rockets doing?
My stance on the Rockets hasn't really changed. I think the Rockets
really
– the Rockets are really good, and I think the Rockets will beat basically anybody but the Warriors. But I still think the Warriors are the team to beat.
Now remember, it was about 7 weeks ago you said if you put LeBron on the Rockets and they kept their existing team, they would still be underdogs of the Warriors. You still holding that position?
No.
So no, you've evolved on that one.
Yeah, I've evolved there. If you put LeBron James on the Rockets, they would be favored over the Warriors. I don't know that I would pick them over the Warriors, but they would be favored over the Warriors.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, and now, Grant, the Warriors right now, yes. And Fred and I had a pretty in-depth discussion about, I don't know, if the Warriors don't have a healthy Steph Curry, I don't know if they can win a title. I think Steph Curry's more important to the Warriors than Kevin Durant is. I'm not saying he's a better player, but I think he's more important to them winning a championship.
Well, for sure, if it's about pace, because though the Spurs haven't been able to take advantage of it, and you guys are probably better than me at the X's and O's of basketball, but guys I respect are pretty adamant. If you look at the pace the Warriors play without Curry, they just can't play as fast as they want to, which takes away. It's not only how efficient they are, it affects their style of play.
All right, well. That was a different kind of segment. I thought it was actually we got into some really cool stuff there. So,
well, I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm eclectic. We could talk buffets, old 70s TV shows.
Yeah, see, that's how we know you're a rich, because you're eclectic. If you were a poor, you would just be weird. Yeah. That's how that works.
That is true.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky that people give me the benefit. It is true. Like I know we got to run, but you know, I've always been, you know, let's say in school, an academic high achiever, but I could never spell. I mean, literally my ability to spell, because I'm a sight reader, not a phonics reader, which actually helps me read very fast, but I don't sound out the words too well. And thus I struggle with spelling. I would probably be in the 20th percentile, 30th at best in the country. But because I'm pretty talented in other areas, they think, oh, that's quirky. Look, RJ can't spell. But if I weren't good in the other areas, then it would be like, oh, he's an idiot. He can't spell. But it'd be the exact same thing.
Yeah. Well, there you go. See, that just proves you're a rich.
Quirky.
Yeah. You're quirky. You're not weird. I'm weird. So there you go.
I get weird at the strip clubs after 2 a.m.
Okay, that's next trip out there.
At a certain point, you just got to let the truth out. That's my saying.
Yeah, that took a strange took a strange turn there. All right, that's great job, RJ. We'll talk to you again soon, man.
Thank you.
All right, that's RJ Bell. Quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.